Now, I am super honored to introduce our first keynote speaker of the day, Robert Hubbell. Robert started his famous, by now famous, newsletter, Today's Edition, in February 2017 to provide hope and perspective to his family. It was just for his family. Now, he's giving over 100,000 readers hope and perspective, a much broader activist family across the country. And he's also giving them concrete calls to action. And we're so grateful that he's not only helping us keep our sanity, he's channeling our energy into the work that will move the needle. So Robert Hubbell, everyone, thank you so much, Robert.
Well, thank you, Jason. You are one of my heroes. And to follow your advice about giving early and often, my wife and I are going to contribute $1,000 to get things kicked off. So much.
It's so sweet. Thank you so much.
Let me start with perhaps the most important part of this message. And I'll note to the listeners, I have 15 minutes, so apologies if I go quickly here. To Field Team 6, to Jason and his entire team, to every grassroots activist and organizer on this call, and to the sponsors, thank you, thank you, thank you. You have answered America's call in its time of distress. And each and every one of you is a hero of American democracy. You know, each generation, including ours, must redeem democracy anew so that it can be passed on to the next generation. And no generation before us has failed in that task. And ours is not going to be the generation that falters because of you. We will prevail. We will preserve democracy and the rule of law. It is only a question of when, not if. And as Jason mentioned, we have a successful track record. We won in 2018, 2020, 2022, 2023, 2024, and we're going to win again in 2024 because we're well positioned to do so because of people like you, because of organizations like the ones on this call. Now, let's just take a minute and recognize that we have achieved a lot. So if you're watching this in a group, turn to the person next to you and shake their hand or pat them on the back or give them a hug. And if you're alone, pat yourself on the back. You deserve it. Okay, enough with congratulations. Now we got to get to work. I want to really cover two major points. Why is this moment different? And why does perspective matter? The Field Team 6 motto is register Democrats, save the world. It's a pretty audacious motto. And at a different time and place, that motto might seem like hyperbole, but it is not. It is not. At this point in time, it is literally true, not figuratively true, literally true. We face an unprecedented challenge to democracy, liberty, decency, and humanity. Generations before us have confronted equally serious challenges and prevailed. And in saying that we face an unprecedented challenge, I don't mean to diminish the difficulties that our predecessors faced or the significance of their accomplishments. To the contrary, we stand on their shoulders. But there is something different about the challenge that we face. Others before us faced aspiring dictators. Others before us faced a reactionary judiciary that was intent on embedding institutional racism and class privilege in American society. At other points in our history, America has been riven by hate and malice. So what makes this moment different? Well, it's because we are both the target and the medium of disinformation. The algorithms and the profit models that drive social media platforms and major media work by provoking anger and fear on us, because their corporate creators know that those feelings drive an addictive feedback loop where we're always trying to seek more information to reassure ourselves, but it's like a mirage on the horizon. It's ever receding. It drives us to endlessly click our mouse or change the channel in seek of the next adrenaline rush that's fueled by anger and fear. And I know from hearing from many of my readers that this disinformation environment is causing them to feel extreme anxiety, helplessness, even dread and despair, even as they are engaged in the incredibly hard work of preserving democracy. So today, I want to offer just a single lesson that I've learned from the newsletters and from my family, from my daughters. And that is that we must maintain a sense of perspective if we hope to prevail in this moment. We're engaged in a marathon, and we cannot flame out because we consume ourselves with daily anger or dread or anxiety or outrage about the latest news story. That's how the newsletter started. Many of you have heard that I'm the father of three adult daughters and my beautiful wife of 42 years. And I assured my family that Donald Trump, there was no way that he was going to win. And when he did, my daughters especially were crushed emotionally. They could not look at the television to see his face, to hear his voice, to witness the awful things that he was doing. And they wanted to look away. And so I said, those feelings are real and understandable, and I respect them. But you have to know you cannot disengage entirely. And so my wife and I agreed that I'd send a daily email to my daughters. And actually, it started in November as a daily email of 2016. And in February of 2017, we added three family friends to the distribution. And it's just gained more and more and more followers because people feel the same way. And I will tell you that I've had the privilege through the newsletter of speaking to people whose names all of you would recognize. And they have confessed to me, they feel exactly the same way. They may be accomplished, they may have honors, they may appear on your cable channel, but they have young children and wives and daughters and elderly parents, and they are frightened just like you. And that's okay. That's understandable. Let's recognize that that's a piece of this moment because of the disinformation that targets us and say, okay, what do we do about that? And my simple prescription is that we must maintain perspective. And what does that mean in this moment? And what that means is that we have to look beyond ourselves. We have to expand the field of battle beyond the gray matter that sits between our two ears. We have to get out of the two-hour news cycle to look at the broader sweep of history, to the arc of the moral universe that bends towards justice. If we can do that, we can calm the fears. We can refocus our energies on the things that will make a difference. So, how do we do that? I'll tell you what I do, because I experience these same feelings from time to time. What I start with first is to remind myself that America is a great nation. It is imperfect. But it is a great nation that is bigger than Donald Trump, that is bigger than MAGA extremism, and that will outlast them no matter what. You know, if you think about the momentum and the heft and the scale and the history of America. America was, our present Constitution was enacted in 1789. We immediately survived two foreign wars. We endured the ugly institution of slavery. We emerged from a civil war, and then we struggled through the Jim Crow era. And not so much we, but Black Americans and indigenous Americans as well. They abided, they endured, and they taught all of us a lesson in doing so. We endured the isolationism that preceded World War I. We endured and overcame the flirtation and the infatuation with Hitler before World War II. We survived the Korean War and the Vietnam War, the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War. And with each trauma, America was tested. It was painful. People were hurt and died. But as a nation, we prevailed. And rather than being weakened, we were strengthened and tempered. America is a vast country with hundreds of millions of people and incredible resources. America's economy is bigger than the 12 economies of the EU combined. Our natural resources, our nation gives us a purchase that other countries on the face of the earth do not have. But we have been tempered by our past, and we are stronger because of it. And if ever you start to feel anxiety or weakness, just reflect on the greatness of America with all of its imperfections and recognize that we stand on the shoulders of everyone who came before us. The second point is, do not ascribe to Donald Trump and MAGA extremists superpowers they do not have. That's part of their game. They say they're going to do this or they're going to do that, and the cable news repeats it, and we believe it. Bullshit. They are a hot mess of a dumpster fire that is coming apart at the seams. We cannot shrink in fear at an organization that is at civil war with itself, and that is putting not only the worst candidate in the history of American politics up as their presidential nominee, but continually makes the mistake of nominating crazies like Mark Robinson in races that they might have a shot at winning. Now, I'm not saying that we should count on Republicans to defeat themselves, far from it. But I'm saying, let's knock it off. Let's stop saying that they're a boogeyman who, has some superpower. They do not. The only quality that they have that we should strive to emulate is that they have an incredibly strong loyalty to their leader. And we could use a little bit more of that. But when you start to feel bad about the dissensions in the Democratic Party, recognize that that is a sign of our strength, because we are a party that is big enough to hold competing viewpoints about the right path forward. I have 2 minutes left. I had a lot more written down to say, so I'm going to close with one point. My wife and I just recently drove down the Mississippi through Middle America to meet Democrats, progressive, persuadable Republicans in red states. It was a wonderful experience. One of the most moving things we did was to visit two civil rights museums, one in Memphis and the other at the site of Martin Luther King's assassination. I'm sorry, one in Memphis and then one in Mississippi. And there's a very moving exhibit about the Montgomery bus boycott. That was a boycott, I think, that lasted more than a year. And it succeeded. It started with Rosa Parks, who was not the first to refuse to give up her seat, but it was her act of courage that started it. And how did the boycott work? It worked because men and women decided to engage in the simple act of walking, not taking the bus, walking to work, to low-paying jobs, frequently to menial jobs, although no labor is menial, the simple act of walking. And when they were walking, they may not have felt like they were performing a heroic act. But they were, just like you. When you write a postcard, send a text, register a Democrat, you are performing a heroic act. Never, never forget that. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. I hope you'll take a moment and just scroll back through the chat where time after time, somebody on this call has said that reading your newsletter or listening to you read your newsletter has saved them time and time again. It's voices like yours that make us want to get up the next day and keep doing this fight and bring joy to it. So thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for being here. Appreciate you.